What is odd about this message, I'm about to tell you something that you don't ever want to hear any preacher say. I try not to say it ever. This would be a very, very unusual circumstance. But we're going to read this verse and set a context, and then I'm going to introduce a thought to you. Now, here's a statement you don't ever want to hear a preacher say too often, if ever at all. You won't need your Bible much tonight. All right, ain't that sad? Amen. But it don't mean I ain't preaching the Bible. I want to give you a thought this evening, kind of in a different way, and illustrative type message as far as what we want to communicate to you this evening. Psalm 57 and in verse number 4. Now, I'm not saying I'm not going to preach the Bible, so don't get too nervous, okay? Psalm 57, verse number 4. This is a psalm of David, and David said, notice his first phrase, my soul is among lions. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Notice the phrase, my soul is among lions. Now I want to start, and I think it's going to be a start. This would be maybe the introductory message. A lot of things I'll say tonight, and we may deal with this as lions are mentioned all through the Word of God. Some of our greatest Bible heroes had encounters with lions. Amen. The most familiar would be that of who? Daniel and the den of lions. Amen. Somebody said Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. No, he wasn't. He was thrown into a den of lions. A lion's den may mean a den that lions was in, but ain't in no more. Amen. There was lions down there in that den he was in. And then we think about Samson and his encounter with a lion in the way. And I think about maybe David spake about as a young man that when he was getting ready to go fight Goliath, he's ready to go. He's chomping at the bit. Is there not a cause? And Saul and them men are saying, what do you think you're doing? You're a young boy. You're a whippersnapper. And this is a champion among the enemies. David said, what you don't know, I may be young, but I've done whipped a lion and a bear. Amen. He had encounters in the wilderness as a young man with lions out there all alone. And then I think about maybe one that is a little unfamiliar, would be greatly unfamiliar, when the Assyrians or the Babylonians sent people from their nation back into the land of Israel after the captivity of Judah and Israel. They sent people to dwell in Samaria. And those Babylonians in Samaria, they did not fear God. They did not know the manner of God. And the Bible said God sent lions among them and slew some. And that got their attention. They went back to the king of Assyria. They said, we don't know the manners of the people and the God of that land. We don't know how to live there. And he said, if we're going to deal with them lions, we better send a priest back down there that can teach us how to live in that land. And all that was predicated on God sending lions to encounter those sinful men. And we could go on and on and on. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ is the what? He's the lion. He's a lot of things, but one of the things he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Here's what I want to preach on beginning tonight. David said, my soul is among lions. Can I preach to you a little while tonight on this thought, living among lions? Living among lions. You can be seated tonight. In the context of Psalm 57, we would find David, of course, being the author and the background of it. And I hesitate much to preach from the Psalms because we do so much of that in our study the last many years now, going psalm to psalm, verse by verse. But if you would be reminded tonight, Psalm 57 is a psalm of David while he's hiding in a cave, having fled from Saul and his men who are literally seeking his life. They seek to destroy David. They want to tear David down. They want to end David's life. They want to do it as cruelly as they can. And in this psalm, David is tucked away in some regard for fear of his safety and fear of his physical well-being and his very life. In the text tonight that we've read, David said, "My soul is among lions." In this text, he is painting a portrait of his enemies and likening them to what would be known as a pride of lions. David said, "The way they are coming after me, the intentions of their attacks, the brutality that they have and desire further to exercise against me is as a pride in a pack of lions." He said here, if we can just break the verse down for a moment, he said, "I'm lying. I am going through life as though every evening I lie down among them. They have a fire in their belly. They have a passion that consumes their will and their determination and their desires. That they would take their teeth and as they are spears and arrows and sink them into me. They have a desire to do to me spiritually and maybe even physically what lions do to mankind when men run up on lions." I believe we could say tonight few things could be more amazing than encountering lions. I've never encountered one. I have seen them in the zoo, and I'll be honest, that's about the only way that I want to see a lion. I don't want to run into one in the wild. I don't want to go run into one. Hey, man, much less a pride of them and a group of them out in the wild. It's fine with me to observe them through fences and thick plexiglass as they have been tamed down to some measure within a zoo. But if you think about it tonight and what we know about lions, what we have seen by way of videos about lions, what we've learned about them, nothing would be more amazing and more powerful than encountering lions. Sam was out the other day this last week, and he was doing some things, trying to get some business. And he was talking, this woman and her German Shepherd come out, and he thought everything was fine until the thing had a hold of his arm. And we think about dogs and a domesticated dog, a guard dog encountering that, and that would strike fear or terror or some sort of amazement in our mind of the power of such a creature. But nothing could compare to encountering a lion. A lion getting a hold of your arm would be different than a German Shepherd. It would be different than someone's guard dog if a lion were to come at you and attack. The bloodshed, the injury, and the death that is represented by a lion's very presence is something that is unmeasurable. We think about that tonight as David said, "My soul is among lions." He looks around and at every turn there is Saul and his men. There are his cohorts and his compadres that have linked arms and linked desires and linked their determination against David, so that David said, "I'm as afraid of them as I am a lion. What they represent in my life is my blood being shed upon the ground, my soul being injured, and my very life being taken from me in death." It's interesting when you study lions and the devastation that they have and do bring. In 1898, a pride of lions in Tsavo, Kenya, is said to have killed more than 30 human beings in a 9-month span. And they were maneless lions. And really, there's no explanation. In fact, I remember, I don't remember if it's a good movie or a bad movie. If it was bad, I watched it before I got saved in 96, okay? Amen. But in 1996, there was a movie that came out about that very event. And I can't even remember the name of it at this moment. Worse yet, from 1932 to 1947, one pride of lions killed more than 1,500 humans in that 15-year span in what is now known as modern-day Tanzania. And if you add the numbers up, that is more than 100 a year had died by way, just in that area alone, by a pride of lions. Annually, even in the iron day that we're living in, they say that it is approximated that 20 to 30 fatal lion attacks take place, and many, many more resulting in human beings being bodily injured. And so this is something we think about that. And you think about, what in the world would I do? I'm kind of glad we live in the area of the world that we live in. And we might have black bears, but thank God we don't have lions on top of it. David had to fight lions and bears. And all we got to do, Brother Larry, is shoot the bears. Amen? And so think about lions and their devastation. And the way that lions can attack and rise up, and the devastation that they can bring, the loss of life, the injury that is taking place bodily. We think about even the economic costs that would be associated with that of lions rising up in prides and packs and doing the devastation such as has been and is still recorded among mankind. And when we think about lions tonight in Scripture, David again said, "My soul is among lions." And lions are mentioned over 100 times. I'll give you in the days to come specific references and numbers and things. But when you study out the word lion or lions or lion-like, you'll read about old lions and young lions and roaring lions. You'll read about devouring lions and all kinds of lions. The Bible references, rather in different stories or in different pictures and portraits that are painted for you and I. I think I could break down the picture of a lion in regard to what comes into our life. As David said, "My soul is among lions." That in Scripture we can look at them as pictured several ways. Number one, if you want to look in Proverbs, I believe it's Proverbs 28. I hope I got the right verse here. Proverbs 28 and in verse number 15. The Bible said, "As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people." I wrote it down this way, that a lion, my soul is among lions, that lions can be pictured in the Word of God as wicked rulers. Wicked rulers are as roaring lions among the nation. I believe tonight we see that. I, again, don't know all that Brother Tim is teaching on this morning. I think I caught the last 3 or 4 minutes of it enough to know, hey man, that some of the very things he was hitting on references this fact. And there are roaring lions in our nation tonight, and they represent the wicked rulers that are over our land. They're not interested in our well-being. They're not interested in us thriving. They're not interested in promoting godliness and holiness and the Scripture upon which our nation has been founded. But rather, they're interested in leading a nation and destroying everything fundamental to a moral society. Amen. You say, well, who are you talking about? Well, you just start naming them. That's who I'm talking about. Amen. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the whole outfit are nothing more than roaring lions of wicked rulers. Amen, preacher. That's exactly right. Amen. The devastation they have caused our nation in 3 years, my friend, is absolutely mind-boggling. And the only way that you can describe that is as a roaring lion seeking to rip apart a nation. Amen. I won't bog down on that, but you know that's telling it right. So wicked rulers are likened to roaring lions. Consider with me in Psalm 17. In Psalm 17, look there for a moment. The Bible said in verse number 12, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places, arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked. And so not only are roaring lions pictured in wicked rulers, but just simply the wicked at large, and the wicked in general. They are as the greedy lion of his prey. They're as the young lion that lurks in the shadows and lives their life in the darkness, and are waiting upon a moment to pounce at and to attack the innocent that are in their journey. I want to say this evening, there are wicked men. There are wicked men in the world. There are wicked men in some churches tonight. There are wicked lions and lionesses and sit back and await to attack and to abuse the people of God and to shred them and to do them injustice and injury and bring about their very destruction. This evening, not everybody is wholesome. Not everybody is right with God. Not everybody is saved. Not everybody is interested in the will of God. We're living in a world, in a society in which the wicked are seeking to destroy the moral and destroy the righteous and wipe out the just church tonight. Amen. And they are as lions living about us, and we're living in a world among these lions. And we've got to deal with that. We've got to deal with wicked rulers. We've got to deal with the wicked that are in every hand. And then I guess the most common one that we would know in the Word of God is none other than Satan himself. Peter said in the New Testament, 1 Peter 5 and in verse number 8, he said, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, not your friend, not your buddy, not the one that has your best interest in mind, but rather your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so tonight there is a lion in our adversary, the devil, tonight. Satan is as a lion. He's out to get us. He's not a friend. He's not my friend, our compadre that wants our life to be lived to the fullness satisfaction. But rather he wants to destroy everything that is good and everything that is wholesome. He wants to divide your home. He wants to kill your discipleship. He wants to drive you out of your mind. He wants to devour your spirituality. He wants to take everything that God, good that God has put in your life. That's why Jesus said about him that he is a thief and cometh for but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Amen. That is the job of Satan as the lion. Amen. Seeking whom he may devour. And so this evening we look around and we see wicked rulers. We see the wicked on every hand. And we see Satan himself as our adversary. That they are all lions among us. And so tonight, listen, what are we going to do about that? I tell you what I want to do about it. I want to live among the lions. I want to be Daniel that can live among the lions. I want to be a David that, though the lions arise and attack, and I can live among the lions. I want to be like the crowd. And even when God sent the judgment of lions upon a wicked generation that knew not God in the land of Israel, the Bible didn't say that they slew them all. It said they slew some. And there were some that lived. There were some that had survived. There were some that were victorious. And I believe tonight that in this hour that we're living in, we look around at all the lions, the wicked rulers, rulers and those sinners had, and the heathens and the pagans had, and the atheists and the God deniers had, and the wicked and the drunkards and the harlots and the whoremongers and the dope heads and the pill dealers had, and the abortionists and the sodomites. And we look around, and then on top of all of that is that great adversary, the devil, is a lad and is walking all around. And the child of God must understand that my soul, though it be among lions, it is the will of God that we survive and live among the lions. Daniel said, and we'll deal with it all in its own message in a service near you soon. But in that delivering Daniel into the den of lions, the king the next morning came to check on the welfare of Daniel. And he said, I like what the king said, the king that signed the decree. The king that wasn't smart enough to know the scheming and the planning of the wicked against Daniel. The king that didn't have enough intellect, amen, to see through all the shenanigans that were going on, at least had enough wisdom the next morning when he got to Daniel, and he cried out to Daniel, and he said, is your God able to deliver thee from the lion's mouth? Daniel was able to testify, God sent his angel down here, shut the mouth of the lions. I can't explain it all, King, but I know that my God has been able to deliver me. Somebody said, well, them lions wasn't all that hungry, no how. Amen. And that they were just disinterested and in a coma. And then explain to me, pray tell, amen, how that when they brought Daniel out and 30 seconds later they dropped in that crowd and it schemed against Daniel and it entrapped the king and deceived the king. And when they put them and their wives and their children and their servants down into that pit and den of lions, why then did them lions, the Bible say, gnash their bones into? Amen. God is able to deliver us from the lions. Amen. Hallelujah. In a world we're living in, you ever feel like, David, my soul is among lions? You ever feel like that? The wicked that oppose us and oppress us. Obviously, we feel that way if you got any God in you at all. Amen. I don't care. I about come to the conclusion just about all of them up there is corrupt. Some are just slower in how they're bringing it all to pass than others. Amen. And if you got any God in you at all, you look at the condition our nation's in tonight, and you'll have to say, my soul is among lions. If you're doing your best tonight as a child of God to live for the Lord, You have felt the presence of satanic forces, amen, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness all around us, the demonic activity, the demons of hell, as though a pride of lions encamped against us. Amen, my soul, David said, is among lions. Amen, but I'm here to tell you tonight that David lived among the lions. And lions may have desired to sink their teeth into him. Amen, desired to bring him down and destroy him and shed his blood and wreck and ruin his good name and his testimony. David lived among the lions. David outlived the lions. And God brought him through and showed him a path to victory. Amen. Well, began to do my study about living among lions, some studies about really how would you live? How should we think about lions and encounters with lions? The website, azanimals.com, amen. Be careful what you type in on the internet, by the way. Amen. Don't take my word for it. Amen. I wrote it down my way. If you type it in different than I put in, ain't no telling what you'll find. Amen. AtoZAnimals.com states that most lives lost to lion attacks are from at least three factors, is the way they worded it. Number one, habitat encroachment. In other words, you get out of the environment you're supposed to be in and you get into the realm and the habitat of the Lamb. I think about God's children tonight and so many that have fallen prey to lion attacks and have been destroyed tonight because they didn't stay in the environment the child of God's supposed to live in. They began to run out there where the lions are. They began to stretch the boundaries. They began to break through the hedge. They began, my friend, to jump over the wall. They began to run through the gate. They began to ignore the counsel and the instruction and the wisdom of God, thinking that they, as a child of God, could live and survive in a habitat and encroaching upon a territory of the enemy that always results in some sort of injury or fatality. Habitat encroachment. And said, and this goes along with it, that the second factor this website said is irresponsible behavior. If you haven't watched it, you ought to watch, try to find something like it. These people that go on these safaris, and they get in this little Jeep, and they go out to go lion watching. Amen. I've watched some of them fools get out of that Jeep so they could get a closer picture of the lion. You say, what do you call that? Irresponsible behavior. Stay in the Jeep. Better yet, don't get in the Jeep and go out there. The lions are going to eat you. Are you listening tonight? Irresponsible behavior. How many tonight in the family of God, how many that have been around the church began to be irresponsible in their spiritual behavior, as though they could flirt with the lion, as though they could get a little snapshot of how close they came to the lion, and see how close they could come without getting a scar and without getting a wound and without losing their life, only to find out that they went a step further than they could have possibly ever hope to go and still survive. Irresponsible behavior will lead you to dying among lions. Amen. You're being irresponsible when you flirt around websites you got no business being on. There are people that are prone to certain sins that easily beset them. And rather than acknowledging that and staying as far away from that as they can, they want to see how close they can come to the lion without the lion hooking his paws into them. What is that? It is irresponsible behavior. Then I thought about this, the third factor. Not only I could say a lot about this, I told y'all it's a weird message. Amen. Habitat encroachment and irresponsible behavior. They said the third factor that is involved in lion attacks is just simply a lion's desperate search for food. In other words, sometimes you're going to have to live among the lions no matter what. Sometimes there are going to be encounters, and it's not because of habitat encroachment and irresponsible behavior that there is a lion out there that wants you for its next meal, that wants you for its next prey, that wants you to be the next carcass it's laying on the side of the road as a testimony of it satisfying its innate desire for meat and for blood and for bones as a testimony that it has conquered another individual. The lions tonight want you. The lions tonight, I'm not trying to scare you. We've got to be honest about it tonight. There is a desperate search among the spiritual lions that are against us tonight that desire our destruction. This government we're living in would gladly cut your pastor's tongue out of his mouth. Throw me in jail and throw away the keys, shut the doors of the church, and run all of you out back to your homes and to lift up on the side of the highway here a bloody carcass of a church that they were able to destroy and they were able to shut down and mark it down. There are wicked men who would desire personally to do the same. Men that we have stood up against that, and men and women and individuals that we have called out for their lion-like nature and their sin and their perversion and their wickedness, and would love nothing more than to see us destroyed. Devil, you can mark it down, and every demon of hell that follows him wants your life to end in spiritual destruction. There are times we're going to encounter them just because they're on the search, just because it's the lion's nature to kill. It's the lion's nature to come against us. Is there anybody here tonight that's interested in living among those lions? I am. I began to look through this website and the article that I found, and I found so much spiritual application. I'm not telling you, Brother Mike, they had Bible verses out to the side of all these things. They didn't. But as I read this and knowing the direction, the Lord had put some things in my heart from the Scripture. I thought, my soul is among lions. I can testify with David, I have been there. But Charlie, I have been there where the lions, it wasn't due to my irresponsible behavior. It wasn't due to me encroaching upon an area or a territory I as a child of God should not be in. But that the lion that was walking about, roaring and seeking a devouring of my life. Glad after all of these years, I'm not telling you I hadn't had some wounds and scars from the lion. But I am glad to be able to stand and tell you tonight, the Lord has kept me safe. He sheltered David in that cave. All his fears and all his wonderings and all his, what am I going to do, and looking to the Lord for help. I'm glad the Lord was awakened to David's need. I'm glad he was exalted in David's life. David come out on the other side, living among the lions. Let me give you a few headings tonight and a few things that I found. And I've got a lot to give. I'll try to do it as quick as I can. But I thought about this, number one. I broke it down under this heading, the preparation for a lion's attack. When I was reading this website, it said the best thing that you can do to know about a lion and encountering lions is make sure you are prepared before they come. I thought that was pretty good spiritual application. That's a lot like what Peter said before he revealed Satan to be as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He said to you and I, your job is to be sober and to be vigilant. Be prepared. He's coming. He's after you. He's on the way. He's in the next thicket. He's around the next bend of the path. He's going to be in your life sooner and later. Be sober, be vigilant, be prepared, because the lion's on the way. This website said knowledge is power. So before embarking on your journey, take time to educate yourself. Believe tonight there's such an ignorance in our day about who the enemy really is. Most children of God, they are not preparing themselves against the day of the lion's attack. This knowledge, the website said, will empower you to make informed decisions and reduce the likelihood of an unwanted encounter. Tonight, there's such a lacking of knowledge I think about, and I told you I didn't necessarily have a verse-by-verse study. Amen. And I said that you didn't really need your Bible, but you do need to hear some scripture tonight where Jehovah said in the Old Testament that my people, they are destroyed. They are destroyed. And they are destroyed because of a lacking of knowledge. Lacking of knowledge. It is knowledge of God. It is knowledge of His Word. It is knowledge that He gives us of our enemy and his wiles and his tactics and his traps and his snares and his manners, and empowers you and I to be able to make informed spiritual decisions. You ever, let's make it personal. Let's not make it about anybody else's life tonight. Now you'll have to be humble to admit this. You ever look at your life and the shape it's in and go, how could I make such a stupid decision? You know what that's the result of? It's either the result of not being prepared or ignoring the preparations you knew you should have made. Amen. So there are some preparations. Let me just tell you what the website, you said, preach, I didn't show up to hear the website preach. I showed up to hear the word, but will you at least give me this? We are making some pretty good application. It said that if you want to be prepared for a lion's attack, it said, number one, dress for success. Dress appropriately. It said it's essential to dress appropriately. Warned of dressing in brightly colored clothing that would attract attention. Identify you in the lion's mind as an easy prey. Amen. Said you need to make sure you wear sturdy closed-toe shoes, especially that your shoes are more important than anything, so that your feet are protected. Amen. You say, preacher, what in the world? What does that have anything to do with us and the lions we're facing? You do remember Ephesians chapter 6, don't you? In our battle with the devil, that lion, listen, we are to be clothed and dressed for success by having on the whole armor of God. Amen. So many tonight, they're just winging it. They're just fashioning their spiritual lives after the world spiritually. They're not dressed for success. They're exposed in so many ways. They're not sturdy. They're not dressed appropriately spiritually to be able to be successful against the lion's attacks. In that list, it's interesting as it covers us from head literally to toe. That Paul said, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You know, the greatest thing, the greatest way we can be dressed tonight, prepared against every attack of our enemy, is to be rooted and anchored and our feet firmly set in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't understand why I always fall to the lion. You got your armor on? Have you got your feet shod tonight in the gospel? Or are you just tiptoeing through the tulips like it doesn't matter, only to be caught off guard in the next thicket where you can't even run, you can't defend yourself, and you're absolutely exposed and spiritually naked of the attacks of the enemy? Be prepared, child of God. Get your armor on. The enemy's coming against us. Said in preparation, do not forget there is safety in numbers. Safety in numbers. There's strength in numbers. In this adage, the website said, rings true when venturing into lion country. Whenever possible and at all costs, travel in groups. Lions are less likely to approach multiple people. It said, I love this, stick together. stick together. I read that and my soul immediately began to cry out as though I'm preaching to you tonight. Before I'm even preaching to you tonight, stick together, church. Stick together, maintain a close formation. And in that, there is a deterrence of any potential threats the lions may bring. The church, I'm not necessarily speaking tonight of our own local assembly. I pray it's not so. I don't think it's so. The church at large tonight is so divided, so splintered and fractured and disunity, stupid little petty things that people allow to drive them away from the group. You're asking for a lion to attack you. I'm spiritual enough, I don't need nobody. No, I'll tell you what you need the group. If you didn't need the church, it wouldn't have been a church given for us to belong to. This crowd, oh, let me preach, this crowd, amen, that thinks I can just pop in and pop out and go here and leave when I get mad about something, and then I'll just drift around. Our area is full of people and say, well, I ain't going to belong to no church. I go to a lot of different churches. Let me tell you something, that crowd's asking for attacks and spiritual warfare that they alone cannot handle. I'm not preaching kingdom building, but you hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. There is safety in belonging to a local New Testament Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Stick together. Dodging danger. It said dress for success, safety in numbers. Prepare yourself by dodging danger to minimize the risk of lion encounter. Stay informed about recent sightings. Have your eyes open. Know the activity of the hour. Amen. Some people are so ill-informed. Amen. Well, I heard on CNN, well, that's about 90% of your problem. Well, I heard on Fox News, that's about 80% of your problem. They're all stupid and they're all lying and they all have an agenda. Every loving one of them. Amen. Amen. Realize the dangers that are going on. Inform yourself about the ways the lions are moving, the ways the lions are attacking, and get ready for the lions' activity. In addition, keep your distance from thickets and tall grasses. Where lions may be hiding. It goes on about the cautions you should use around certain places. The hunting grounds for predators is lions. Know where the lion has attacked before. With all your might, prepare yourself by avoiding that at all costs. Amen. Amen. If you know you got a problem with pornography, do everything you can and put up every parameter in your life you can that'll keep you away from that hunting ground. Amen. I told a boy one time, I said, what you need's a flip phone. I just can't make it without my smartphone. No, your problem is you like going to the hunting ground. Amen. Prepare yourself and dodge the danger. A lot of things we could say. The confrontation of a lion's attack. Oh, I got to hurry. In the event, this website said, I call this next point the confrontation of a lion's attack. Prepare yourself before the attack. But what do you do when the lion is getting ready to attack? What happens in the event that we come face to face with a lion? The website said the first rule is remain calm. I read that. I did what Jack's doing. Jack started laughing. Remain calm. There's a 1,200-pound cat with his teeth and fangs showing in a pouncing position. What do you mean, remain calm? But that's what it said. Do everything you can to just remain calm. How would a child of God do that? Maybe by remembering you're a child of God. Maybe by remembering that we got the Lion of the tribe of Judah on our side. And he's a bigger, badder, more ferocious and undefeated lion and champion than the devil or his crowd is. Remain calm. Panic can exacerbate the situation, whereas a calm demeanor can help prevent a potential dangerous escalation. Here's what it said. Here's what it said. This is under my heading, the confrontation of a lion's attack. My soul is among lions. What do I do? It said, number one, when a lion encounter happens, a lion's attack happens, number one, hold your ground. Said, if you spot one, resist the urge to run. Stand your ground. Maintain eye contact and speak firmly to assert your presence. I think about the boldness that a child of God ought to have in these days. There's so many that are running and giving up so much ground to the enemy. We have been called in Ephesians 6 again, the encounters we have in spiritual warfare with these wicked rulers and the wicked that are around us and the devil and his goons, that we have been called upon to put on a whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When you have done all that you can do to stand, Paul said, withstand further. Hold your ground, child of God. We've given up so much ground, the church has very little ground to stand on anymore. We can't call out much anything, all the ground we've given up. We can't talk about modesty. We can't half-heartedly with any power and any honesty in our voice preach against the transgender movement anymore, because we've bailed out on so many standards and morality. Amen. And it is a mess we're living in this earth, and because the church and God's people have not held their ground against the enemy. Amen. We can't make stands on abortion because we're content with politicians that have exception clauses. I'm telling it right. We ain't got no ground to stand on. The average church, over three years into COVID now, there's still churches that don't have Sunday night service and Wednesday night service because they bowed their knee to wicked rulers. Amen. Well, the government said we can't meet. No, wicked rulers said you couldn't meet. Wicked men in power deceived this nation and said you couldn't meet. Say amen. The church has lost its ground of being able to stand against a confrontation, the lion's attack. We have allowed the enemy to shove us off ground that ought to be ours. Amen, amen. I'm telling you, I don't know what Miss Kate that fed us. It was Julie that cooked. I don't know what she put in the food today. That mac and cheese tastes a little bit like gunpowder. Amen. I'm telling you, we've give up ground. It's time the church say no more ground. Amen. And arise and look the line eyeball to eyeball. Maintain eye contact. I'm talking about not flinching. I'm talking about not blinking. I'm talking about not turning to the left or the right. And just hold your ground. Amen. When our wicked family said, well, if you'd let up a little bit, we'd come around some more. Well, I hope you'll come around some more, but I ain't letting up on my ground. I'm still going to take my stand for Jesus. I'm still going to believe that book. I'm still going to love my Savior. I'm still going to go to church. I'm still going to be what God saved me to be. And if you don't like that, you not like it. But I'm going to hold my ground. Glory to God. Hold your ground, church. hold your ground. Oh, boy. Amen. Number two, it said, I got a kick out of this. Amen. And there's a way I want to apply it, but it said, make yourself look bigger. Amen. That's funny to me. Make yourself look bigger. But it explains how you're supposed to do that. Say, what does it mean? Well, that website said, are y'all ready? Watch me now. It said to make yourself look bigger, throw your hands up. Throw your hands up. It said lift up your voice. Amen. It said stomp your feet. Open your jacket. Amen. Do y'all see tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless His name. Amen. And I'm telling you, there are lions out there tonight. And if we're going to survive our confrontation, amen, listen, we're small. We're easy prey. You don't have on your strongest day the strength of a lion. You don't have in and of yourself, amen, armor that will keep the lion from crushing your bones in his mouth just like that. And I tell you what we can do. Amen. We can make God big in our life. When we let God shine through and we praise the Lord, what are we doing? We're making ourselves appear bigger than we are and stronger than we are and more protected than we are on our own. Amen. Child of God, quit walking around with your head down. Lift your hands. Bless the name of your God and do it in the presence of the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. That's pretty good preaching, even if it is website preaching. Here's what it said. It said, slowly back away. Amen. It said, slowly back away. Not necessarily retreat, but realizing the seriousness of the situation. When you have an opportunity, oh boy, when the devil's throwing his wiles and his darts and all his traps and snares your way, amen, sometimes you got to back away from those things he's presenting. The website said when the attack itself begins to happen, it said in this confrontation, hold your ground, make yourself look bigger, slowly back away. That's all when the encounter happens, when the attack begins to happen. It said, number one, defend yourself. Fend off the attack. In other words, fight, fight, fight. Which brings you to the next point. I love this. Here's what the website said, Brother Tim. It said, whatever you do, do not play dead. And it talks about this, that there are urban legends that have been spread, old wives' tales that have been spread where lions live, that if you're ever attacked, just lay down and play possum. The website explains that that is one of the most dangerous things you can do because a lion feasts upon that it is killed. There's a lot of God's people playing dead tonight. Playing dead. Getting mauled by the prey, playing dead. They pray dead. They worship dead. Oh yeah, they're dead. Dead in unity, dead in the Bible, dead in any growth. Wonder why they cannot live among lions. Do not play dead. I like this point. It's probably my favorite of all. It said, when you're in a confrontation of a lion's attack, it said, seek immediate help. Get help to yourself as soon as you can. Cry out to somebody that can get to where you are. Psalm 57 is a plea of David. It's David's way when he said, my soul is among lions. That is his way. And you read the entirety of the psalm. What is he doing? He's seeking immediate help. He's saying, God, I cannot make it without your help. I can't make it if you don't come to where I am. If you don't run to my rescue. If you don't allow your grace to intercept this time of my life. There's no way that I can live among these lions. Can I say tonight, I'm glad I have a God that I can seek the help of him above. Amen. Well, the rejuvenation after a lion's attack. The rejuvenation. Website said in the aftermath of a lion attack, it is essential to focus on your well-being and recovery. So I'll be honest tonight, we've all been attacked. If you're trying to live for God, the Bible said, Paul said to Timothy, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You mark it down, if you don't get it from anybody, you'll get it at least from the devil. We've all know what it is to be attacked. Thank God we know what it is to survive, to get the help that we need from the Lord, to shout our way through it. Holding our ground. Oh, escaping the ways of sin that would destroy our life, but defending ourselves and fighting with all our might, not giving up, not playing dead, but ultimately come through the battle saying, the Lord brought me through. But when the battle's over, after the lion has attacked, here's what it said. You do this by tending to your wounds. It's an evaluation of your injuries and a seeking of medical attention that is to be done as soon as possible. Here's what it said. I need you to hear me on this. I'm about done. It said even seemingly minor wounds can lead to infection or other complications if left untreated. I've watched God's people, Brother Larry, get wounded. And if they don't take time to let God recover them from that infection, and there's a name for that infection. Y'all ready? It's called bitterness. Begins to sit in about things they've been through. And I've watched them same people lick them wounds 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years later. They're still licking their wounds with a poison of bitterness flowing through their spiritual life. Amen. After you've been through the lion's attack and confrontation, tend to your wounds. Prioritize, it said, your health and recovery during this critical time. You're going to have to let God, by his grace that we sang about again this morning, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amen. It's brought me through many dangers, toils, and snares, including lion attacks. That same grace it brought me through has rejuvenated me spiritually, where I could arise in another day when there wasn't a lion in sight, be able to praise my God that he helped me live among lions. Amen. Talked about reporting the incident and sharing your story. Said this, and I believe this is so key tonight. Here's what it said about sharing your story. Your experience may serve as a valuable lesson for others, potentially saving lives in the process. I'm a nobody tonight, but I've been where David testified he was. My soul is among lions. I've looked the lions eyeball to eyeball. But Tim, I wasn't always prepared like I should be. I try to be more prepared now that I've had a few encounters. I've been through enough to be able to come on the other side, take God's people by the hand, share my story, and maybe even have to say, Riley, you don't want to go down that path. You don't want to walk down there to that watering hole. There's a lion down there. And share that with him for the safety of his own spiritual well-being. Amen. In doing so, by the way, you know how foolish you would be? Do you know how foolish Riley would be if I said, now down there at that watering hole, there's the biggest, baddest lion. And he eats everybody that comes down there. And I share that with Riley. Riley goes right down to that water hole. We'd all say, well, he was asking for it. He was asking for it. There's a lot of God's people asking. They're asking for trouble with the lion tonight. Open your ears. Hear the stories that some of God's saints are trying to share. They're not trying to cramp your style. They're not trying to keep you from having fun. Trying to keep you from encountering things they have encountered. Spare your life from a lot of scars and wounds. Share your story. Share your story. Anybody say with David, my soul is among lions. I've been there. We're still there culturally. We're there and it ain't going to change. But I want to be like so many of God's people I've been reading about studying lions in the scripture. I want to live. I'm so wore out. With the mentality, let's all just play dead. Let's all just play dead. Ignore the lion ignore you. The lion ain't ignoring nothing. The lion ain't ignoring nothing. We might as well get up, get some calm assurance from the Heavenly Father and stand in the power of His strength. Let His grace supply every need we have. Say, with God's help, I'm living among the lions. Lord, we love you tonight. Would you please help us? Lord, would you send us, Lord, that grace and strength and encouragement we need, even in this hour, unto this hour. Lord, I know this was different. Lord, we've tried to add scripture into this as we preached it tonight, just very practical things. Very needed things in this day. I pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight. Help us to be prepared. Help us, Lord, to get in the book. Attach ourselves to spiritual truths that, Lord, would give us knowledge, Lord, against the lions that we encounter. Then, Lord, when we have to confront and are confronted by these lions, help us, Lord, to know what we're to do. Lord, we don't want to be like the crowd of 1898 or, Lord, the crowd in Tanzania for 15 years. It was just slaughtered one by one. Lord, the testimonies that year after year, as many as 30 fatal lion attacks taking place. Lord, we don't want to be among the testimony of those who fell. Died among lions. Lord, we want to live. We need your help tonight. Give us victory. Give us joy. Give us, Lord, sustenance and satisfaction. We thank you for all that you do. Help the church now this week. I pray you'd bless us, each and every one. Lord, bless the ministry here. Meet our needs. Give us, Lord, all that we have need of, Lord, to operate and function in these days. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.